believe people will never remain free if they are not free to fight for their vital interests.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Praise Capital A and pass the ammunition.
The Restoration Hour with Pastor Eli James.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James. This is Eurofolk Radio, the Restoration Hour. Saturday, April 29th, 2023. And tonight, because I'm still being besieged by rumors that I'm a Jew, although no one has ever accused me of being an informant, because that would be slander, right? Because they don't have any. I've never been in jail. I don't have a criminal record. And typically, the people who call me a Jew and call me names have been to prison, like William Fink, who was in prison for murdering someone while he was the officer in charge of the prison, and people like Morris Juliet and Wickstrom, James Wickstrom, although Wickstrom wasn't accused of murder. He was guilty of many other things, as I recalled here on this radio program over the last couple of weeks. So it's pretty evident that all these federal informants are trying to take me down at the behest of the ADL and the SPLC. But let me just quote real quickly, because I've been at this a long time, and my track record as a Christian identity pastor goes back to about 1999 when Dan Johns and I were doing internet radio just when it started up, okay? And here is a statement from the Anti-Defamation League. This is July 17, 2012, and it's addressed to Hari Ravichandran, the CEO of the Endurance International Group, 70 Blanchard Road, third floor, Burlington, Massachusetts. And it says, "Dear Mr. Ravi Chakran," and it goes on to list three websites that the ADL considers to be anti-Semitic. Of course, we know the Jews aren't Shemites, so we can ignore that aspect of it. But here is what the gist of the letter was sent to me. Now, I actually did not receive this letter until about a day after it was sent out by the ADL, because what I found out was the ADL had put pressure on this the Endurance International Group, which is a website hosting company called POW, and they hosted my site from I think from 2003 to 2012. And so I had a very successful run with that company. And I had to switch companies after this, of course. But here's what the ADL has to say. "In the course of the Anti-Defamation League's work combating hate and extremism, we study and analyze information about the abuse of digital communication media, as if they don't. Some of our recent work has involved investigating registration and hosting information for the most egregious hate-filled websites." Okay, and then they go on to name, "Our analysis of these complaints indicates that the Endurance International Group hosts multiple websites, and the first one they list is www.anglo-saxonisrael.com/site. Then they have www.volksfrontmedien.org, www.zundelsite.org. Okay? So, the ADL considers me to be, actually, I have a handwritten note from the person of one of these two people here is signed by Deborah M. Lauder, Director of Civil Rights of the ADL, and Robert Trestan, Project Director, Cyber Hate Response. Okay, they listed me subsequently and my website as the number one anti-Jewish website on the net. All right, now we have all these ex-felons, and some of them are still current felons, running around calling me a Jew. So one of these groups has to be wrong, right? Either I'm a threat to Jewry or I'm a Jew. It can't be both. It can't be both, all right? It took me over a year to finally get the Anglo-Saxon Israel up and running again. It really put a dent in my armor and my ability to communicate when my website was taken down. Nevertheless, we still have these people like William Fink and James Wickstrom is no longer with us, and others who, including Morris Juliet, calling me a Jew and saying that you know, I'm the bad guy and they're the good guys. Well, here we go again. Morris Juliet did a stint in prison, and he got out, I believe, in 2010. I actually have the correct dates here, but I'll get to that in the later portion of today's broadcast. So he's another one of these characters who gets out of prison, and all of a sudden he's God's gift to the white race and a bona fide Christian identity pastor. So, again, I'm not aware of Morris Juliet doing any writing on Christian identity. So here I am with a track record since 1999, broadcasting Christian identity truth for all this time. And, of course, being a member of various Christian identity groups such as the Christian Patriots Defense League since 1980, so I have the track record to prove that I am a bona fide Christian identity teacher and pastor. None of these other guys, including William Fink, he got out of prison, and then as soon as his feet hit the ground, he declared himself to be an identity minister, right? So also God's gift to the white race, right? So, but these guys who have long track records of violent crimes, which Morris Juliet also has, still going around calling me a Jew. And, you know, I've pretty much resigned myself to the fact that this is probably going to happen to me for the rest of my life. But these people are phonies. They're absolute phonies. And Morris Juliet was affiliated with Paul Mullett. Paul Mullett was actually on Your Folk Radio for a while. Paul Mullett was the real deal. He was a real, true organizer. He was able to organize the remnant of Aryan nations in several states, and he had hundreds of followers, unlike Morris Juliet, who only had a few followers, if any. So one of the occasions on which I did meet Morris Juliet was in Louisiana shortly after he got out of prison and set up his group in Louisiana. And at that meeting, when I arrived there, you know, there were dozens of people. It might have been three dozen people at the meeting. And as soon as I got settled into my bunk, because it was a 13-hour drive from Chicago to Converse, Louisiana, there was a state park that Morris Juliet had rented for a conference. And no sooner did I get there, and the place was raided by the police. This was the only event that I ever attended that was raided by the police. However, Morris Juliet was not present during that raid. He had run off to his mother's house, which was not far away, and spent the night there while the rest of us were forced to endure this police raid. What had happened is two federal informants, pretending to be identity followers or adherents, were being interrogated by the rest of the people there. And you know, you can tell the difference between identity and neo-Nazism, for example, is that you have to know your stuff. You can't just be walking around pretending to be Christian identity. You have to know what you're talking about. And if you can't answer a simple question, you know, like a biblical question, and who the Jews are, and if the Jews are Edomites or Judahites, if you can't answer a simple question like that, then it's easy. You know, and if you're not obeying Yahweh's laws, because Christian identity demands that you be obedient to Yahweh's laws, and it's really easy to spot somebody who's not obeying Yahweh's laws. And if these two guys who could not answer any simple questions about Christian identity, well, what happened was that these two guys were surrounded by the real people, the real Identians at the conference, while Morris Juliet was off the premises. And these two guys put in a distress call. And within minutes, the whole compound was flooded with police cars. Within minutes. This is the event created by Morris Juliet. Okay. So Morris Juliet has been saying that I have not been invited back to any of his meetings. Well, given that experience, there's a good reason why I have not. I didn't even want to go back. And, but here again, we have a case of Morris Juliet getting out of prison and then suddenly being God's gift to the identity music movement. I'm sorry, folks. This is an old song. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is because most people don't realize how being in the identity movement, especially being a leader of a identity group, is quite dangerous. It's quite dangerous. And so, as I related a couple of weeks ago, when August Christ attacked Pastor Dan Johns, I stood in his way and faced him down, eyeball to eyeball. What I did not know at the time was there was somebody getting ready to stab me in the back while I had this confrontation with August Christ, who was an absolute scumbag, and molested his own children, and is now serving life in prison for molesting his own children. So these are the types of people that you run into. Because why? Because the Jews infiltrate every identity group, every white nationalist group, every national socialist group, and they definitely infiltrated the Aryan nations under Pastor Butler, okay? So right now I'm going to give a general overview of how the FBI, the ADL, SPLC, the federal government, and you, I'm sure you're aware of what happened in Michigan recently. They set people up. They set people up to take a fall. Governor Whitmer of Michigan was supposedly going to be kidnapped by a group of white nationalists. Well, virtually every one of those white nationalists was actually a federal informant. And that's the defense that they were set up by the FBI. The whole group was set up by the FBI, just like the Hutari group in 2008, I believe it was set up by the FBI. The first assault on the Twin Towers, which had a truck bomb in the basement, that was set up by the FBI. So we see that these kind of incidents are staged by the government. So here I'm going to present from Forbes magazine a very honest report of how the FBI has been, you know, misinforming the public about who is actually responsible for all of these so-called crimes. Let me put it this way. I have never known a Christian identity group to actually commit violent acts. because the vast majority of identity people are middle class. They have jobs. They don't want to risk their livelihood on stuff like this, right? Typically, these violent acts are committed by younger people even before they even heard of identity, and they become identity later. This is what happens. So do not, for a minute, believe the mass media when it talks about all of these so-called crimes committed by the order, you know, which were vindicated of any accusations, and other groups of white nationalists, especially those involved in Christian identity, who have been falsely accused of crimes and later exonerated. So, you know, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This is what's going on in the Christian identity movement. It's a dangerous business, folks. It's a dangerous business. So, you know, there's a reason why people shy away from Christian identity and from white nationalism, because you are taking your chances when you get involved in these things. So I highly resent people who say, you know, say, oh man, you know, Pastor Eli, he's a Jew, you know, and he's on the payroll. Well, prove it. Prove it. Give me some evidence. What's your evidence? Show it to me. Show it to anybody. Show it to anybody. It's, you don't have any. Yes, yeah, Lily says, when Juliet got out of prison, he heralded himself as the pastor of Aryan nations. Well, isn't that funny? As soon as he gets out of prison, he's suddenly a Christian identity pastor. That's really an old story. You have to understand that when these people get arrested for violent crimes, they plea bargain. Yes, Lily, it was dangerous to follow Christ after he was crucified. No doubt about it. Okay. No doubt about it. But there's all kinds of misinformation out there that is just really Jew-inspired. Okay. So like I said, the ADL says I'm the number one anti-Semite in the country as of 2012. And next to Ernst Zundel, right, who they put away on false accusations. And yet all of these informants are saying I'm a Jew. And it's so easy to disprove because they have multiple images of me, number one, as a rabbi from Israel who doesn't even speak English, has only come to America once in his whole life. Skip Baker accused me of being that rabbi. David James posted a photo of me as comparing me with the head of the Goyim Defense League, who is a Mexican-American. In no way I even look anything like that guy. Yet David James has posted a photograph comparing me to that guy. I've only been to California, well, four times, twice as a Vietnam fight in the army in Vietnam, coming to and fro from Vietnam on jet planes, okay, and several trips to California, once to Yosemite, and we had a meeting in near L.A., a Christian identity meeting there. So I've been to California a total of four times. But this guy who heads the Goyim Defense League is a lifelong resident of California. So this is a kind of false information that is being put out in order to smear me. Why? Because I am a very successful identity pastor, and the ADL must smear me. Okay? So either the ADL is telling the truth about me being a threat to them, or these other characters are liars. Okay? They can't both be true. One has to be lying, all right? So the ADL is telling the truth about me, that I am a threat to them, right? I always have been. And my book, The Great Impersonation, is probably the biggest expose of Judaism that has ever been published. But they have been giving me the ADL doesn't need to do any more hit pieces on me because they have hired other people to do it for them, Okay, that's the basis of what I'm trying to say here. So here is what Forbes magazine has to say about this whole situation of infiltrators. Now, they're not going to tell you that they're sponsored by the ADL or the SPLC. We'll get into that a little later in the broadcast. But this article is entitled, FBI and Other Agencies Paid Informants $548 million in Recent Years, with Many Committing Authorized Crimes. Okay? There's the backdrop of how the FBI sets people up, you know, make them jail bait by setting them up. I forget what the terminology is there when the police set somebody up and maneuver them into committing a crime they wouldn't otherwise commit. Okay, that's what they did with Hutari. That's what they've did with the Governor Whitmer case, etc., etc. However, there are real criminals who get prosecuted and then for other totally unrelated crimes, not related to Christian identity whatsoever, which was the case with William Fink. He spent 12 years in prison. It was cut down from 14 to 12. And then while he was in prison, he learned about identity thanks to Clifton Emmaheiser. And then when he got out, he was actually my co-host for 2.5 years. And when we had this dispute about the correct interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2, when he started calling me a Jew, based on that dispute. Okay? So talk about being stabbed in the back, right? So here's what they have to say. Federal agencies paid out at least $548 million to informants. Now, that's a hefty budget, folks. Working for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and in recent years, according to government audits. A few informants became millionaires, with some Amtrak and parcel delivery workers making nearly $1 million or more. This is big business, folks. This happens all the time, and most people don't know it. That the government is in the business of destroying the lives of Christian identity pastors and sincere white nationalists. That's the business they're in. Okay? Yeah, and Fink was trying to steal my followers and turn them against me. Yeah, and he's still trying to do that. Okay? So, folks, like I said, this is a dangerous business. It's a thankless business because you get people trying to smear you and call you names constantly. So, and I don't fault anyone who's been in the movement and got out because of this kind of backstabbing that goes on, this kind of smear tactics that go on. So I don't fault those people at all. All right, so I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So many informants were authorized to commit crimes. Okay, the FBI gives them the ability to commit crimes without any punishment to set other white nationalists up. Typically, anybody who has spent a long time in prison for this, that, and the other has a plea bargain. The FBI routinely, and I've talked to many, many ex-Aryan Nations members who have done prison time, and one of the first things that happens when they get into prison is the FBI or some other police agency interviews them and asks them to be an informant against the movement. That is the very first thing that happens. You need to understand that that is what happens, okay? Some of them take the plea bargain. Some of them don't. But typically, it's the most violent criminals who really aren't interested in identity at all who take a plea bargain. In Gillette's case, he had a 20-year sentence looking at him, and he plea bargained down to 1 year. Now, that's a pretty generous plea bargain, folks. That's pretty generous. Let's continue. Many informants were authorized to commit crimes with the permission of their federal handlers. In a four-year period, there were 22,800 crime authorizations between 2011 and 2014 to set people up. Now, in my opinion, the reason the ADL has not gone after me since 2012, although they may have, and I'm not aware of it, is because I know so much about the Jewish people that they don't want to see me in court. If I take the witness stand, or if I put an ADL or SPLC operative on the witness stand, which I would do if I had a court situation, the last thing they want to do is see me in court. That's the last thing the ADL wants, all right? They will kill me before that happens. But I have the protection of Yahweh because I keep his laws and I keep his feast days. And I have been railing against the enemy, namely the Edomite Jews, the synagogue of Satan, for over 20 years now. It's going on 30 years now. So folks, like I said, this is a dangerous business, and you get a lot of hate mail from Jews and from their informants as well. Okay? So I used to get a lot of hate mail from Jews in the early days. And, you know, because I would tell them, your religion is not based on the Bible. Your religion is based on the Talmud. And many of these Jews didn't even know about the Talmud. I said, okay, Mr. Jew or Miss Jew, just look it up. Here's a link to the Talmud on the internet. It's freely available. Most Jews don't even know. Well, most Jews don't even read the Bible. Most Jews don't even know what their leaders are up to. Because why? Well, because they need pawns to be sacrificial animals for their international blood games, right? They need to have a cadre of true-believing Jews who are really clueless about what the Zionists are up to, because they frequently have to sacrifice those Jews and make and scare the pants off of them. See, oh, here's a bunch of Jews that were murdered by a white nationalist or a Christian identity congregant, right? When it's actually the Jews themselves knocking their own people off, okay? These are the things I know about how the Jews operate. You know, so they've treated me with kid gloves since 2012, as far as I know. Although we've had rumbles in Chicago since then with Antifa, I've never had a rumble with Black Lives Matter, but several of my congregants in Chicago have been attacked by Antifa on multiple occasions. So it's not out of the question that they will physically attack me at some point. They've come close, but they haven't directly attacked me, okay? So let me repeat this. 22,800 crime authorizations between 2011 and 2014. Here we are 9 years later. How many more have they authorized? The FBI paid approximately $294 million from 2012 to 2018. The DEA paid at least $237 million between 2011 and 2015. And ATF paid approximately $17.2 million between 2012 and 2015 to informants. This movement is crawling with informants. It's absolutely crawling with them. And I don't fault people for not getting involved when it gets this dangerous. Our auditors at theopenthebooks.com compiled this information, and I guess this is a Forbes outfit, by reviewing federal reports. While some of the data is several years old, it's apparently the most recent available. The FBI spent an average of $42 million a year on confidential human sources between fiscal years 2012 and 2018. Long-term informants comprised 20% of its intelligence relationship from a 2019 report. The ATF employed 1,855 informants who were paid $4.3 million annually. Therefore, on average, each informant made $2,318 for the year. Well, oops, I overshot my target here. DEA employed 18,000 informants, some earning up to $1 million. Each year, thousands of confidential human sources are on the payroll. Quote, one federal agency, the DEA, had over 18,000 active confidential sources assigned to its domestic offices, with over 9,000 of those sources receiving approximately $237 million in payments for information or services they provided to the DEA between October 2010 and September 30, 2015. High-earning informants included an airline employee who received more than $600,000 in less than 4 years, and a parcel employee who received over $1 million in 5 years. The Inspector General at Justice, who scrutinized DEA informants, reported the findings. During this audit, we found that between fiscal years 2011-2015, the DEA actually used at least 33 Amtrak employees and 8 TSA employees as sources, paying the Amtrak employees over $1.5 million and the TSA employees over $94,000. One Amtrak employee was paid $962,615 between 2010 and 2015 to be a confidential source, which the IG called a substantial waste of government funds. Indeed, the information provided could have been obtained by DEA at no cost through a joint check task force with the Amtrak police. However, no, these people are owned and operated by the international Jews, and they enjoy doing this kind of stuff. They enjoy wasting your money tracking down innocent people who are just expressing their opinion on the internet and in public. Okay? So, in addition, my record, I have been to numerous rallies in Louisiana. That wasn't the only one. In Arkansas, I was a speaker at the state capitol in Little Rock, at the state capitol of Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm out there publicly, which my accusers are not doing. And the reason they're not doing it is because they are felons, right? They don't want to be out there in public. It's too easy to identify these ex-felons as, these are probably informants. So they don't want to take that risk. So, folks, I'm tired of the accusations, but I recognize that it's probably going to be part of my career. It was from the very beginning, once I published my first edition of The Great Impersonation. Federal informants have been accusing me of being a Jew, while the ADL tells the world that I'm the worst anti-Semite in America, right? So I can't be both. It's got to be one or the other, folks. It's got to be one or the other. All right. So, and it appears there may be corruption in addition to crime in the system. In 2017, during a Congressional Oversight Committee hearing on the confidential informants, then Chairman Representative Jason Chaffetz, a Republican of Utah, noted, quote, a court released the testimony of one confidential informant in Atlanta who received $212,000 from the DEA from 2011 to 2013. She testified she wasn't sure why she was paid. That was her testimony. She also testified to a sexual relationship with a DEA group supervisor who allegedly convinced the subordinates to falsify reports to justify the payments. That case is currently under review by the Inspector General. Okay, you're probably aware of the a group called in Oklahoma, Elohim City. Elohim City was a bona fide, true Christian identity compound that practiced the feast days, was righteous in obeying Yahweh. However, they were infiltrated. Timothy McVeigh, before he bombed the Murrah building in Oklahoma, paid them a visit twice. Both times he was kicked out of the compound because he was talking about bombing buildings, right? This is normally what happens if you're a member of a bona fide Christian identity group. They will not tolerate violent talk. They will not tolerate talking about killing people. They will not tolerate it because they know the risks involved. Now get this. I was contacted by a former member of Elohim City who told me this, that a female infiltrator of Elohim City snuggled up to the leader of the group, who shall remain nameless because I don't want to embarrass him. She married the leader of the group, had, I forget, two or three children by him all the time while she was a federal informant. Can you believe it? This is how committed some of these informants are. Well, they're getting paid, right? They're getting paid good money to be an informant. So you might as well enjoy yourself while you're a federal informant. January 6th, Capitol riot had at least two embedded FBI informants. At least. I'll bet there were several dozen. Okay. So this is the game that the ADL, SPLC, and our so-called government plays against people who are trying to expose the facts. All right, this is the game that they play. So it's not fun, folks. It's not fun. But praise Yahweh, I have made it this far without being physically attacked. I came close a few times, but I have not been physically injured by Antifa or some kind of federal informant. Okay, I've been threatened. James Wickstrom threatened me. I read that email he sent me a couple of weeks ago. And Maurice Juliet threatened me too in an email. He sent me an email with a picture of my house saying, I know where you live and you need to be taught a lesson. Okay, this is the character of Maurice Juliet, who I will talk about briefly. I guess we're getting close to the end, so maybe I should talk about that. So, first of all, there was competition between Maurice Juliet and Paul Mullett. Paul Mullett was the real deal. Paul Mullett was with the Aryan Nations. Maurice Juliet was just a sometime visitor. But both of them made the claim to be the bona fide follower, or the one person that Pastor Butler picked to be his successor. Okay, actually, I think I named Pastor Butler's successor, but that didn't work out. The crux of the matter, what actually happened after Pastor Butler's group was set up by two federal informants who committed a violent act against innocent civilians. And I know that they were federal informants. They were not the bona fide members of Aryan Nations. But this is what happens, okay? That's Pastor Butler was kind of lax in his security. And he allowed many federal informants to come to his compound. And many of these, you know, were harmless, but some of them are hardened killers, okay? About Paul Mullett, since pleading guilty to unauthorized use of a motor vehicle in 1992, Mullett has found himself in prison several times. And I knew Paul Mullett. I went to his house several times. He attended our feast days. about 6-7 years ago. So he was the real deal. He wrote many pamphlets, Christian identity pamphlets, which I didn't see Juliet doing anything like that. He was a bona fide Christian identity teacher. Okay. So it says here, he joined Tom Robb's Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in 1995 and later became involved with the Aryan Nations, a dangerous Christian identity group with neo-Nazi leanings. Okay, this is from the SPLC, and I'll put this link in as well into the chat room. So you can see. But the SPLC sued Butler's organization after two federal informants attacked some innocent bypassers, you know, who wandered onto the compound by mistake. Okay, so that's how that went down. And the SPLC sued Butler organization and basically bankrupted the organization with this fake incident. Okay, totally fake incident. All right, so after Aryan Nations founder Richard Butler died in 2004, the group dissolved into several splinter groups. Mullet led one of these factions from April 2009 to October 2010, when he was ousted by Aryan Nations pastor Morris Juliet. Okay, so there was bad blood between Mullet and Juliet. I can tell you there were at least a dozen claimants to being successor to Pastor Butler. I knew many of them. Morris Juliet was on my prison mailing list. I sent him Christian identity information many times, but he never responded, so I just gave up. I said, okay, Morris Juliet is not a good candidate. He's not interested. That was my only relationship with Juliet before he got out. And then here we go. We have a convicted felon who, once he gets out of prison, becomes God's gift to Christian identity, right? In his own words, I not only believe President Obama wasn't born in this country, but I also believe that he's the Antichrist. This is Mullet speaking. And with 2012 coming around the corner, that if something doesn't happen soon, that in this world as we know it, there's going to be a pitched battle, unquote. Paul Mullet quoted in Ethos magazine. Okay, and he continues, we're ready to risk everything to defend what's right and what's white in this world. We're waking up white America, letting them know that we're not going to let Jewish media run us into the ground, unquote. Paul Mullet speaking at a rally at Gettysburg National Military Park. Okay? So, folks, he was out there. He was out there rallying. And let me just scroll down. In 2004, Mullet was convicted of multiple crimes in Ramsey County, Minnesota, involving theft. He had attempted to cash checks that had been stolen from a man's house. He received a 13-month sentence in a Ramsey County correctional workhouse. Background. Paul Mullet is a neo-Nazi and Christian identity adherent with a long criminal history, although these were minor crimes, very minor. In 2000, Mullet moved to St. Paul, Minnesota, where he led a neo-Nazi group, the National Socialist Party of America, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to scroll down because we're running out of time. Now, Mullet was also a Minnesota state leader for the Aryan Nations from 2000 to 2002. Just after the 9/11 attacks, Mullet put out a call to his compatriots. Quote, the current events in New York City have caused me to activate my unit. We are preparing to strike here, here in Minnesota and other surrounding areas. We will be ready next week for our revolution, unquote, Mullet wrote on the web at the time, but apparently no action was taken by his unit. In the early 2000s, while Mullet was in charge of the Minnesota chapter, the Aryan Nations was an organization in decline. Okay, it was already in decline, even while Pastor Richard Butler was alive, but his health was failing. He was sometimes incoherent. As I talked to many people there, including a friend named Robert in Pennsylvania, who showed me that he had the membership rolls. He was in charge of keeping the membership rolls. So I visited him in his house in Pennsylvania, and sure enough, he had the membership rolls of Aryan Nation. So he was a bona fide member. Pastor Butler trusted him with the membership rolls. He and his wife, Cindy. Okay. So I knew many bona fide members of Aryan Nations. Paul Mullett was one of them. Okay. So Paul Mullett was a true organizer. Okay. Now, the person I was most connected with after the collapse of Aryan Nations was Jonathan Williams. So this paragraph here. After Butler died in 2004, infighting in the Aryan Nations led to the creation of several splinter groups. I would say at least a dozen. At least a dozen. So they can't all have been anointed by Pastor Butler to be his successor. This was infighting. There was infighting amongst these people from the very beginning. From the very beginning. From 2005 to 2007, Mullett was a member of an Aryan Nations group led by Jonathan Williams, a Christian identity pastor who has called blacks a soulless mud people. Well, Jonathan Williams, to me, was the true successor to Pastor Butler. He founded a group called UCOY, the United Church of Yahweh, and I attended many of his meetings down in Georgia and Alabama, and was a featured speaker for Jonathan Williams. However, he was an alcoholic. And the last meeting that I went to attend, he was arrested by the cops for driving drunk. So he couldn't be an attendee of the very conference that he organized. We had a conference anyhow. But from that moment forward, Jonathan Williams ceased to be active in the Christian identity movement. Jonathan Williams and I did many shows on TalkShoe. The article continues, the group was headquartered in Lincoln, Alabama, and had acquired between 200 and 300 members by 2006. Now that's quite a list of members, which most of these offshoot groups only had maybe a dozen or more. So this is the one group that had a real following. In January 2009, Mullett joined another Aryan Nations faction headed by Pastor Gerald O'Brien in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He moved to Athol, Idaho, a city in North Idaho close to Coeur d'Alene. Mullett split from O'Brien in April 2009 to form his own Aryan Nations group. Bitter over the separation, O'Brien in February 2010 called Mullett a usurper with no right to use the name of Aryan Nations. Well, they could have all accused each other of that. Every last one of them could have accused each other of that. Because none of these were anointed by Pastor Butler. I forget the name of the person that Pastor Butler actually anointed, but I think that person died shortly afterwards. So it might have been Ray Redfern. I'm not sure. But one more paragraph here, and I think I'm going to have to go overtime today. In August 2010, Aryan Nations veteran and Christian identity pastor Morris Jullett joined Mullett's group after serving a 5-year prison sentence for plotting an armed bank robbery. Jullett had authenticity as an Aryan Nations leader, as I just said. He was part of the United Church of Yahweh, which was headed by Jonathan Williams, who I, at that time, considered to be the bona fide successor to Pastor Butler. Jullett had authenticity as an Aryan Nations leader. He had worked with Richard Butler and claimed that Butler had ordained him as a Christian identity pastor. That summer, Mullett moved his Aryan Nations headquarters to Chillicothe, Ohio, which is where Mullett lived when I visited him twice. Okay. In October 2010, Jullett forced Mullett out of the group, taking control of the Aryan Nations faction. On October 18, 2010, Gillette wrote a statement claiming that Mullett had stepped down from his position as national director to form a new white supremacist organization, emphasizing that he was not endorsing Mullett's new group or implying any alliance between the two groups. Gillette later accused Mullett of stealing from the Aryan Nations and lying to its members during his tenure as national director. So you can see accusations flying back and forth, chaos. Absolute chaos ensued in Aryan Nations after the death of Pastor Butler. That's the fact. That's the way it fell out. Among all the claimants, most of whom had done hard time in prison, I consider Paul Mullett and Jonathan Williams to be the bona fide members who carried the name of Aryan Nations Church of Jesus Christ Christian with them. And my compatriot James in Pennsylvania, I won't mention his last name at the moment, and he is still active in Aryan Nations, and he is the last remaining bona fide leader of Aryan Nations. And he has done interviews with me as well. Okay, so let's get to Maurice Gillette. All right, so here, now this is Mary Mad Monk, blogspot.com. And I'm going to put this in the chat room for people to read as well. So we're dealing with a hardcore criminal who, like William Fink, calls me names. Okay, so David James is in a category of his own. I may talk about him at some other point, but he is a general malcontent who was, David James was on Eurofolk Radio for many years until he started calling us names out of the blue, started calling us names. And so we're seeing here, again, this is not an easy life, folks. To be a bona fide identity pastor means you have to deal with people who want to stab you in the back. Okay? This is the reality of the situation. So if you want to get involved, if you want to be a pastor, you have to be prepared to take this kind of treatment. Okay? So, again, this is from... I just put it in the chat room, so I'll just grab it from the chat room. I don't want to quote from the SPLC because a lot of their information is, in fact, fabricated. They usually pile on to whoever, you know, they want to criminalize with their lies, okay? So I'm trying to find a website here. Let me see if I can find it. No, I'll just have to go back to the chat room. And for some reason, I can't find it. Here it is. Now, I tried to click on it, and it moved. Okay. Let me see if I can get my cursor on the article. There we go. Finally. MaryMadMonk.blogspot.com. 2005-06. Quiet FBA Takedown HTML. All right. So here... Calhoun, Louisiana is not much more than a truck stop halfway between Monroe and Ruston on Interstate 20 in the pine forests and rolling hills of Wachita Parish. Blink and you'll miss it. Those who regularly travel that 30-mile section of I-20 know it is a rare thing not to see one or more Louisiana state troopers writing speeding tickets. They hide in the median amongst the pine trees and sometimes have spotters on overpasses, even been known to use radar-equipped helicopters. That's an expensive ticket. But what very few people know, even the citizens of Wachita Parish, is what went down in Calhoun a few weeks ago. So what's the date of this? June 13, 2005. So this is well before I knew Maurice Gillette. Some, if they read the Monroe and Shreveport papers, may think they know, but if they relied on newspaper reporting, they only get part of the story. The story didn't run on the wire services. It was a pretty bland story, as stories about conspiracy to commit armed bank robbery go, right? They're handling Morris Juliet with kid gloves here. Why? And a pretty bland Department of Justice press release. Here's the press release, April 29, 2005, Monroe, Louisiana. A federal grand jury in Shreveport has returned an indictment charging Morris Lynn Juliet, age 49, of Calhoun, Louisiana, and Charles Scott Thornton, age 23, of Piedmont, Alabama, with conspiring to commit armed bank robbery. United States Attorney Donald W. Washington announced today Juliet and Thornton are scheduled to be arraigned in the United States District Court in Monroe on May 6, 2005 at 9 a.m. Juliet and Thornton were each charged with one count of conspiracy to commit armed bank robbery, one count of conspiracy to possess, carry, and use a firearm to rob a bank, one count of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and one count of forfeiture of a firearm. If he forfeited his firearm, how is that a crime? I don't know. The indictment alleges that between April 8th and April 21, 2005, Juliet directed Thornton to leave the state of Louisiana and travel to the state of Alabama to locate a bank to rob. Now, this is putting Mr. Thornton in harm's way, is it not? It is also alleged that in the indictment that Juliet, who was a convicted felon, and Thornton had numerous firearms in their possession, including two SKS semi-automatic rifles, a Mossberg 12-gauge shotgun, and a Firestorm 45 caliber semi-automatic pistol. Now, here's the kicker, folks. What's not in the news stories or press releases is that Morris Juliet is a leader in the Aryan Nations and Christian Identity pastor. I never considered him a bona fide Christian Identity pastor. I haven't read anything that he's written. You know, he's made some public appearances and events that he's organized himself. But he cannot possibly claim to be the one selected by Pastor Butler to be his successor. No way. Nor are there details about his felony conviction. Now, that's odd. Why aren't they giving details about the felony conviction? In 1997, he rammed a Dayton, Ohio Police Department cruiser with his van. He was charged with two counts of felonious assault on a police officer. The Moody Aryan Intelligence Report, Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris L. Juliet. Okay, with only a couple of minutes left, I'm just going to read like the, I'll just read this article. It's not very long. The Moody Aryan, now this is from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris L. Juliet, 48, Dayton, Ohio. Vietnam veteran Mo Juliet has been associated with the neo-Nazi Aryan Nations for many years, almost all of them as a lieutenant of Ray Redfern, see the cop shooter. Now, again, if Ray Redfern got in a fight with a cop, it doesn't mean that he's guilty of anything, because sometimes the cops are the instigators. The longtime Ohio State leader who became famous in the movement for shooting a police officer repeatedly but failing to kill him, see Death's Door, that's Ray Redfern we're talking about. Juliet had his own violent run-in with police on March 2, 1997, when officers spotted him heading his van the wrong way down a one-way street. In a 12-mile chase that finally ended in a Dayton suburb of Beaver Creek, Juliet crashed his vehicle into a police cruiser, tried to run one officer off the road, and attempted to run down another officer. In the end, he crashed and his van landed in a creek. Later, Juliet would say he fled because he didn't have a driver's license, and anyway, he was just in one of those moods, unquote. Quote, was just in one of those moods, unquote. That's kind of laissez-faire, isn't it? He pleaded guilty to aggravated assault on a police officer. Now, listen to this. He faced up to 20 years in prison, but a plea bargain allowed him to serve only about a year. a plea bargain. Having facing up to 20 years in prison, he only had to serve a year. Now, that's quite a plea bargain, folks. That's quite a plea bargain. As I said earlier, whenever a violent felon, and especially one who's known to be a white nationalist, goes to prison, the very first thing that happens after you've been assigned your cell is the FBI or some other federal agency approaches you to be an informant. That's automatic, folks. That's automatic. So it's quite obvious that Morris Juliet was approached by the feds to become an informant. After his release in 2000, Juliet moved to Calhoun, Louisiana, and became the Louisiana Area Nation's leader. And, of course, that's disputed, as I have said already. Shortly after his arrival in Calhoun, Juliet founded the Church of the Sons of Yahweh / Legion of Saints. Warning, this link takes you to Juliet's website. If you click on the link, I'm not sure if it's active anymore. The church is internet-based, complete with streaming audio of Pastor Juliet's hate-filled rants against anybody who is not white and whites who do not accept the Christian identity faith. Okay, but he stops short of calling for, just here, one last statement here. He just barely refrains from crossing the kill 'em all line, just barely, which Wickstrom did cross. He can hardly contain himself as he preaches his hate. The FBI image that has copied his hard drives, hopefully they can use what they find to bolster their case against him. All right. So after this violent confrontation with police officers in, what was it, 1997? Okay, it was 1997. A convicted felon who plea bargained from a potential 20-year sentence down to 1 year. Okay, so there are people on Telegram who say this guy is legitimate. I don't think so, folks. I don't think so. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. And I'm going to check in with the people in the Eurofolk Radio chat room. Okay, the Merry Mad Monk. All right, so folks, this is what happens when you get involved. Yes, McVeigh got kicked out of Patriot meetings in Michigan, too. Thank you for that information, Freebird. I wasn't aware of that. So, and he was MIA. McVeigh was an active member of military intelligence when that all went down. So he was on the payroll, folks. And what, they wanted to blame it on identity people. So you really have to watch your P's and Q's. You cannot allow any violent people into your organization. You must have an ironclad rule, which I have always had in place. Anybody who speaks about committing a violent act is immediately ejected from membership. Immediately. We will not tolerate it for 1 second. Okay? That's how I protect myself. And so that's been my rule now for over 20 years, okay? But there were occasions where our people were assaulted because we usually met in restaurants, and Antifa assaulted some of our people on a South Side restaurant. They had organized a separate meeting on the South Side, which I didn't attend, and Antifa came in with baseball bats and assaulted the people there. One of the members there I knew very well, and his son was totally traumatized because he brought his son to the meeting. His son was totally traumatized by that incident. And, of course, you don't attend identity meetings after a traumatic event like that. This is what the ADL, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, etc. do, and then we're called the terrorists. We are called the terrorists. This is what happens in real life. Okay, folks, that's what's going on. Okay, so let me just check the broadcaster here. Okay, the broadcaster is still live on Eurofolk Radio. I'm going to switch over to Telegram and take questions. If anybody has a question, let me activate the. Okay, say I see Miles is Miles, Rich, and Lily are in the Telegram chat area. So if anybody has a question, go ahead, shoot.
Hey Eli, I have one question.
Okay.
Do you have a link to that ADL article that says that you are the number one anti-Semite?
Yeah, I have the printout. I've got numerous printouts. But, you know, they said me and Anglo-Saxon Israel were, you know, one of the top anti-Jewish websites shortly after that. I can maybe find that. But I was quoting from this document dated July 17, 2012. And that might still be on there, but that was when my website was being hosted by POW, POWWeb is what they were called, POWWeb.
All right. Yeah, if you could get that back on your website, that would be a good article to be able to cite to.
Yeah, I can scan this as well. And it's official ADL stationery, right? Yeah. So, Anglo-Saxon Israel has been since downgraded to about 40th place on their list of the most hateful websites. Okay, so, and I'm disappointed that I've been downgraded that far. But like I said, they have not been promoting Anglo-Saxon Israel or Eurofolk Radio as an anti-Jewish website very much lately. It's they leave that to other people right now. Okay, so it's a silent treatment. They're giving me the silent treatment right now, and they have been for since 2012, actually. Okay, so all right, yeah, that's a good point, Lily. I'll see if I can't find this because this is ADL official stationery, and it may not be on the net anymore. But they gave me 24 hours to. Save my site. And I caught this less than 12 hours before it was being ready to be taken down. I have the actual time that I found this statement by the ADL on POWWeb. Okay. So I didn't have much time. So fortunately for me, there's a website called archive.org, which had saved the site for me. Right, so I was able to go there and start rebuilding Anglo-Saxon Israel, and we're still in the process of doing that because I haven't been able to get a bona fide webmaster since Michael quit. You know, he just didn't have time to do it anymore, and so this is the efforts you have to go through to keep preaching the word. Right, this is what you have to do. Okay, Lily.
Okay, great.
Yeah. All right.
I had another question that slips my mind, though. I'm going to have to think about it for a minute. I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, again, the people who are followers of Wickstrom and followers of Morris Juliet on Telegram still accuse me of these things, but no one has ever presented any serious evidence that I'm a Jew. Or that I have committed any crime against the white race or anything like that. You know, there simply is no evidence to that effect because I have no criminal record. Okay. And no one who's been involved in any of my congregations or Eurofolk Radio or Anglo-Saxon Israel has ever accused me of doing anything wrong. Okay.
What it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you check the Wayback Machine?
That's archive.org. Yeah, so they may have it. Okay. They may have that, right? Like I said, they're the ones who copied my website. Thankfully, they copied it. I wasn't even aware of the Wayback Machine until after this incident happened. And so somebody informed me, hey, you can retrieve your files from the Wayback Machine. I can. All right. So it isn't perfect. It's not a searchable site. But most of the articles are still there, and I refer back to it constantly because I still haven't rebuilt Anglo-Saxon Israel completely. So it's taken me all this time to rebuild it. Okay, so
well, I find on the way back machine, if you can pull up your main page that has all your links.
Okay.
Sometimes you can click on those links and it'll take you to the spot in the Wayback Machine where that article's located.
Okay. So where is the main page at? Is it, because it lists multiple, what they call pictures. You know, they take a photograph, but it's a live photograph. The articles do open up, right? So they
have. Yeah, you have to like search on a date. I think it'll show.
Yeah.
The dates that your site. And
okay.
If you can find your main page on one of those dates, then you might be able to access,
right,
you know, all the links.
Right. Well, I do have a new webmaster now. He's on and off, but maybe he can tell me about that, you know, so because that's where he's been taking the articles from and putting them on the new Anglo-Saxon Israel website. Okay. All right, very good. Okay, all right, Lily, thanks. I don't see anybody having their hand up, so I'm going overtime on both sites tonight. So thanks for listening, everybody. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Take care, and watch your back. Right? Watch your back. And, you know, this is not an easy task to be a Christian identity adherent. You make a lot of enemies, including your own family members become your enemies when you join Christian Identity.
Right. By the way, I wanted to ask you, any idea what happened to Cappy West? He seems to have a deleted account now.
Really? Yeah, he was on Telegram, right?
Cappy. Yeah, he used to listen all the time.
Yeah.
But kind of like Miles Christie, you know, Miles gets his account deleted and he has to sign in.
He has to sign back up. I see. Yeah, I'm surprised that our account hasn't been deleted, right? Because we're blatant about the Jewish question, so I don't know. You know, I don't know why. Okay, so right.
Problem is when you start posting in public groups. Start posting in public groups, and the Jews start reporting you, and then you start getting banned. Your phone number.
I see. Yeah, because we don't do that. Okay, this is invitation only, right? Okay.
Exactly. I'm a soldier of Christ, just like my Latin name implies. So
yes.
I go there, I go to the fight, and I post, and I get banned. I don't care. I create another account.
Right, yeah. We have to do stuff like that, right? Right. When I first started posting articles on the web, I had AOL. I don't know if AOL still exists anymore. America Online, right? And then when I did group posts to lists, you know, to multiple people, whenever I had the word Jew in the title, AOL would shut down my account. And so I would have to call them up and say, hey, why is my account shut down? Did I do something wrong? Right? And I knew it was because I had the word Jew in the title of the mass mailing that I did. So that's when I started misspelling J-E-W as J-O-O, and because their algorithm hadn't caught up with that yet, right? And so I was able to successfully mass mail people about the Jews by just spelling the word J-E-W as J-O-O. There's always ways to outsmart these people, right? And that's what we have to do. We have to outsmart them. Okay. All right, Miles. Yeah, thanks for your input. Okay. All right, folks. Take care. Yeah. Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Okay.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
Bless.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Shutting down the Eurofolk live stream now as well. Take care, everybody. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Bye-bye.